The Financial Survival Network, helping you to survive and thrive in the new economy. Get our complimentary newsletter at financialsurvivalnetwork.com. This is the Financial Survival Network.
Financial Survival Network is presented to you by Regal Assets. Buy and sell physical gold and silver through your existing retirement plan 100% tax-free with Regal Assets. If you want to include physical gold or silver in your existing IRA or old 401k, request your free investment kit, which was recently featured in the Forbes and Smart Money Wall Street Journal magazines. Call toll-free 855-678-6620, 855-678-6620, or visit regalassets.com. And today we're talking about uranium with the mercenary geologist, Mickey Fulp. Mickey, always great to talk to you.
Likewise, Gary.
And I've been watching these uranium prices, and just when you thought they couldn't go any lower, which is the story of my life in investing, they go lower. What's going on here with them?
Well, the spot prices dropped from, you know, it was very stable at $50 to $52 a pound for, six plus months. We thought it had built a base, and it started going down in the early part of the summer and has continued to go down. Spot price is now $43, although the term or longer term offtake contract price remains much higher at $60. I started investigating what was going on because the usual outlets, uranium newsletters, et cetera, have not really discussed in detail what's going on, except to say that supply availability is up from producers. There's a lack of near-term demand. Discretionary demand for utilities, meaning material that is being bought for stockpiles, has been somewhat limited. But what has really happened, and I got in with some uranium insiders, market insiders, specifically some of my contacts at the Uranium Producers of America, and it's our government doing it, Kerry. It's the DOE bartering excess uranium inventories. They have an agreement with the Uranium Producers of America to supply no more than 10% per year and not to disrupt the domestic market, especially with regards to price. I found out that they are now up to 18% of the U.S. market that's being put onto the market through barters. It's a very complex sort of deal that they have going, but basically what it's used to is to fund the cleanup of the Portsmouth, Ohio gaseous diffusion plant. They are also selling depleted tails from, let me put that differently, they are re-enriching depleted tails from Paducah, Kentucky plant, and those are being supplied to both Energy Northwest and TVA. So here's what it's all about, Kerry. Mm-hmm. Ohio's a swing state, correct?
Uh-huh.
So, and all presidents that have carried Ohio, if memory serves, since Taft, in the, what, when was Taft president? The 1880s or something like that. All presidents have carried Ohio.
Yeah, sure.
So Portsmouth, Ohio. This is all about preserving 800 union jobs in Portsmouth, Ohio.
That's what it's all about. So they're destroying a market. They're destroying a market and hurting companies all around the globe for 800 jobs. And by the way, William Howard Taft served from 1909 to 1913. Interestingly enough, a little known fact about him was that he was a collection lawyer, meaning he sued people for bad debts. And, you know, like you said, you got to carry Ohio regardless what party you're in. But certainly as a Republican, you have to definitely carry it. But for 800 jobs to disrupt an international market, and when you cut the price like that, it has to lead to supply shortages down the road, doesn't it?
Well, what it does is, to put it in a word, I could care less about the worldwide industry. I'm looking at hurting the domestic uranium industry. So we have new producers coming on stream, and they are coming. A lot of those do not sell forward into the market. They basically sell on spot prices. What it does is there is no incentive to explore or develop. 20% of USA electricity, meaning one in five people in the U.S., when they turn on a light switch, is being supplied by nuclear power. The U.S. currently produces only 7% of the uranium that it uses every year, and those imports, domestic imports, come from places like Russia through the high-enriched uranium, the megatons to megawatts program, which, by the way, ends in slightly more than a year. Kazakhstan is now the world's largest producer, something on the order of well over a third of the uranium produced worldwide now comes from Kazakhstan. And then we have our friendly neighbors, North Canada, which supply us with a lot of uranium. Very few people probably know that the largest U.S. uranium mine is in Wyoming. It's 51% owned by the Russians through their equity interest in what used to be a domestic uranium company called Uranium One. So, once again, through short-sighted politics, we're selling ourselves out, in my opinion, to governments in other parts of the world that are not particularly stable and certainly are not particularly favorable and friendly to the U.S.
Yeah, exactly. And we both know of a company that has plans on the board to double the domestic production of uranium and have got permits and everything else. And I think this depressed uranium price is keeping them from rushing to the market.
Well, it's hard to raise funds when investors tend to be relatively short-sighted. So when prices are low, it's hard to get financing to build mines. And so we've seen that. And certainly this lower price renders most new uranium mines worldwide, in fact, uneconomic, with the exception of ISR in situ recovery companies, of which, luckily, those are the ones that are going to be coming on board in the U.S. in the next couple of years, and they can certainly live with a $43 or a $50 uranium price. Most conventional mines cannot make money at those prices.
Yeah, absolutely. So the best cure for low prices is low prices, which causes the market shortage, which causes participants not to sell into the market, to sit on production, slow it down, which causes shortage conditions, and then prices go up. And conversely, high prices eventually lead to low prices, and that's the cycle. But when the government's got its thumb on the scale, literally, it causes all sorts of mayhem and malinvestment and dislocations, which is exactly what we're seeing now.
Well, and the biggest problem with the uranium industry is that we have these government stockpiles, which always overhang the market and can be released at any time. And it is apparent to me that Obama is still talking out both sides of his mouth, as per usual. His nuclear policy has been a mixed bag from the get-go. The other thing that is contributing, and this makes sense too, is low natural gas prices preclude the build-out of new nuclear power plants. So the lack of infrastructure to transport and process natural gas is indirectly affecting the uranium industry too.
Yeah, that's an interesting point that you make, because now natural gas, assuming you locate your power plant in the right place is by far the most cost effective. Do we have any idea what the government, the size of the U.S. government's uranium stockpiles are?
Yes, those are readily available on via information on the internet. I can't give listeners an exact website because it's probably been something on the order of a year since I looked at those government stockpiles, but they certainly are available. Perhaps the place to start would be the EIA, the Energy Institute of America website, which is a government sponsored thing, but certainly everything is available. There are various sorts of stockpiles. Some of them are useful. Some of them are contaminated. Some of them are too low grade. Some of them are too high grade. So it's a whole mixed bag of government stockpiles of uranium material in its various forms.
Yeah, and we'll find some links and put them up in the show notes so that you'll be able to find out exactly how much quantity we're talking about, and understanding that the number is not going to be exact because for the reasons that that Mickey stated. And so that leaves us kind of in a waiting game. How much can the prices go any lower from where they are now? Or
no, it's very hard to say. Generally, we oftentimes see lowering of prices toward year end. Who knows? This is in direct violation of a formal agreement that the Obama administration had with the Uranium Producers of America. But they don't seem to care at this point. Perhaps after the election is over and done, there will be not the incentive. Well, certainly there won't be the incentive to carry Ohio anymore. Yeah. And perhaps things will get back to normal here. But it's not a good situation in the uranium business right now.
Yeah, so maybe this is a really good contrarian play for those.
Absolutely. This is the time to be buying uranium stocks.
Just like with platinum, right? How many times during different interviews do we say platinum is a screaming bargain? It's the best bargain in the precious metals market. And we've been vindicated because it's gone up 20-30%.
Well, unfortunately, I can't find a decent platinum company that I'm willing to speculate in. But that's not the case in the uranium business.
There are many good
companies out there, especially in the domestic and Canadian explorer developer sector. And so, I was buying one particular near-term uranium producer this summer. People can go on my website. I've covered a particular uranium company for a number of years now, and it's right back where we started in March of 2009. You could buy it today for that price. And that particular stock, we had nearly a four bagger in 7 weeks, and we had let me do the math. We had a nearly a seven bagger in a period of around a year and a half or so.
Well, that's pretty good. I'll take them anytime I can get them. So we go to mercenarygeologist.com, and you've got a couple of other sites too, right?
Yep. let me start over. So edit right there. Okay.
Edit. You got it. Go ahead. Go ahead. It's still the same edit.
Okay. Mercenarygeologist.asia for bilingual Chinese speakers. We also do mercenarygeologist.fm, which is streaming audio 24/7 of my many interviews. And we are very proud to announce this week that our Twitter site at Mercenary Geo has now exceeded 20,000 followers in two short years of its existence.
All right. That is excellent. Good news. And it's always good to have those Twitter followers because they're hanging on your every word. And hey, if you want to replay this interview as well as numerous others Mickey and I have done together, as well as hundreds of articles a week, It's financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Mickey, we'll talk to you in a couple weeks with the monthly wrap-up.
Look forward to it, Kerry. Thanks once again.
All right, and go Cardinals.
Go Cardinals.
We'll talk to you soon.
Okay.